Welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And tonight we have another show dealing with metaphysics and spirituality and science and a lot of other elements in the universe. I thought tonight it would be a good thing to talk about metaphysical new health approaches. And since this show is about metaphysics in a way, I mean, that's one of its parts in its title, it is also important to define what I mean by metaphysics for those who are new listeners or have forgotten or whatever. Metaphysics is just the physics, which is the explanation of how things move and change about us and why. It explains those things that are moving and changing in ways that have yet been fully understood or proven in science, or cannot necessarily be proven but can be inferred sometimes. So metaphysics is beyond what is presently understood in science, but not most of the time in contradiction to science, nor is it, or should it be, in contradiction to our understandings of God, which is an interesting point. I'm throwing that in, by the way. I don't know that everybody would agree with that. But as far as this show is concerned, it's also about spiritual issues. And spirit is really the thought of God as it manifests around us. And in terms of the metaphysics that I talk about and that I try to make some sense out of, and physics as well, because physics and metaphysics are just kind of like it's an extension, are not inconsistent with God. So I don't believe anything in this universe is inconsistent with God, because I believe God exists and exists for a very specific series of purposes, some of which it knows, we may not, but certainly the ones that I can explain about I do as well as I can. So we're talking about the metaphysical new health approaches. Now, this is an interesting point, because we're in a time when certain types of, we'll say, energies that this planet tends to function within are changing. And it's a big deal, because the planet itself, Earth, tends to deal with an energy called the third ray, which really just comes from the third part of God's own mind. The first two parts are spirit, which we talked about a minute ago, and the third part really has to do with the material side of things, the physical side of things, where we exist. Or it put it in a more scientific way, energy and movement. So, you know, we live in a physical universe, and energy and movement and how things move about really is a major part of this whole process. Included in that, by the way, is also information and how things can be communicated either intelligently or, unfortunately, sometimes unintelligently. So in looking at this whole proposition, we, at the present time, are changing focus. We're moving from a real 650 to 700 year time period in which this whole planet has really been working on developing our civilization through understanding how to transmit intelligent information and at the same time understanding how things move and how things interact together. Included in this is things like chemistry and physics. These all came to their own in the last 700 years of time. And many other elements, just how we think in terms of our mental thinking, has improved and changed to be more causal. So cause and effect, that means. That's science, by the way, too. And we look for the truth rather than just for any old idea that might sound okay. So those are all things that have transpired under this guise of the third ray, which really builds our civilization. Civilization is the ability, after you develop chemistry and physics and all the other things that we're talking about, geology, etc., that the ability to take the lower kingdoms below human and incorporate them within our own kingdom, hopefully to all's advantage, all of those kingdoms' advantages, including our own, but usually at the present time, not so much so. So that's what civilization is. As we build civilization, we absorb these other kingdoms and do things with them. We build things and make new devices and are able to improve our communication, improve our interaction. Interaction is the basis of this third ray being visible to everybody. And communication is as well, because that's part of interacting. So this has been going on for a long time. I mean, since about 1250 or so AD is when the first inklings of it started. And that's a long, long time ago. Now, you got to look at this thing and you say, well, that's a long time. Yeah, that's getting up there. Yeah, well, it is, and you should be also aware that we are in a position or a period of time now that it has, we'll say, reached its almost peak. So in the last 10 years, the rate of growth has been significantly declining in the development of positive third ray things. There's still development, don't get me wrong. Just the rate of growth has really kind of leveled off or coming to a leveling off. At the same time, a lot of the growth has got some negative twists to it. I mean, we first had the internet, everybody was using it, great. Now we got viruses and there were a few viruses around 10 years ago, but they weren't anything like what we've got today. And unfortunately, we've got terrible levels of snooping and piracy and things that really weren't even probably thought of 15 years ago. And 10 years ago, it was only suggested in novels, and now it's actually happening. So this sort of thing is unfortunately the result of this energy not being as available. Now you might say, well, why not? Well, because in order to make our world well-rounded and to help us to grow, God, through many others who participate more with goodness than not, help to bring about a change that will eventually lead to an improvement. But at the present time, it's leading to some kinds of crises. And not to get too much into Mayan calendars or anything, but somewhere around 2012 to 2013, we should look at the third ray really declining in terms of its effectiveness, not just in terms of its growth rate. And this other ray, which is called the fourth ray, a type of energy to come in. You might say, well, what's that energy about? Well, one of the things it's about is in health and new ways of healing that have a more natural and biological and physics and metaphysics issues to it than it does allopathic, which has to do with the model that's presently used in Western sciences for medicine. And you might say, well, what the heck does that mean? Okay, let me explain where I'm coming from. And by the way, we are definitely going, as far as I know, till the next hour's half point. So we're going to have a long enough show. We got an hour and a half plus of time. And so don't worry about the fact that I'm trying to go slow here so that some of you who are just listening for the first time or whatever can keep up. And everybody can, you know, take it at their leisure rather than me trying to hustle through this thing very fast. Okay, so what does this mean if we've got this change going on and we've got the medicine approach, which is medical science, and what is that? Well, medical science tends to look at things as being outside the body, affecting the body, and creating problems in the body. And that's the science approach that the medical science, which is really based a lot on technology, which is the third ray, by the way, mixed with the fifth ray, which is science in a very proper sense. But unfortunately, it isolates. It doesn't have a holistic, you've heard that word before, approach to how we stay healthy. It's like, well, you stay healthy if you don't catch this thing. Or you stay healthy if you don't eat these things, or you eat something else, or you stay healthy if you do these 10 things. I mean, that's really a model that has a lot to do with very narrow kinds of thinking. In other words, a certain bacteria causes a certain disease, which then you catch, but somebody else doesn't because your immune system is somewhat different than theirs, or whatever reason there might be. I think a lot of people think these days genetics. And this is how the model is built up. So therefore, you've got to have something that now comes in as an external to the body itself and to the person, because generally speaking, people don't, or persons or souls don't get involved. It's just a body kind thing when you're dealing with medical science. That's the truth. I mean, now there's some people who don't believe that, or that are certainly medical science doctors. They believe in a more holistic approach. But if you look at it strictly from the concept of what does it mean, that's pretty much what it means. And it's a little bit disturbing if you think about it, because it tends to make all of us into kind of machines. And the more it moves away from a holistic approach, the more it's practiced in a mechanized way. I'm sure some of you out there have experienced this if you've gone to a hospital or to a new physician's office or whatever. Until things warm up a little bit, it's pretty mechanical. And there's a lot that's missing. Now, what happens when you start changing the ray approach, changing the way that we sense? The rays affect our senses. If the energy is available, a one chakra, which is also connected to a sense, works a little better than another, unless you're very virtuous. If you're virtuous, you don't have to worry about these, what's available, because then the energy just pours through you effortlessly, and there's no problem. But most people are pretty selfish. So these ray energies, when they're available, become very valuable. And when they're unavailable, they become difficult for people who are selfish to live, which is kind of like what God intended, if you understand what I'm saying. Sign is a punishment. It's as a way of helping us to grow. And so we're trying now to move into a fourth ray approach to health, which is very different. It's called holistic medicine. It has to do with understanding that the physical body is connected to our thoughts and to our actions and to our connection with our own creator. And so we stay healthy as we become loving, giving examples and co-participants with our Creator, with God. If we work with God, it helps us to stay healthy. Now, does that mean that if you've been selfish and you do some real bad stuff, you can just sit around and pray to God, well, gee, I heard this guy on the radio today, and I'm going to pray, and now I'll get healthy because God's going to help me? Actually, that might really backfire, because it's very selfish to do that. Instead, if you didn't pray for yourself, you prayed for others, and you went out and worked to help others and maybe undo some of the selfishness that you've done, that may really cure you. But that's a different story. Not to say it isn't part of the show. It's just a different story from the idea of praying to get better. All right, and I know some people do that, and I'm not saying that you're not entitled to. I'm just saying, watch out. There could be some bad things that comes out of that, because it's pretty self-focused. Okay, so you don't want to be focused on yourself, because every time you focus on yourself, you're going to lead yourself into illness under this holistic model, okay? Because part of us is spirit, and if we deny that, if we go against that spiritual part, which is God's own thought, then the results are going to be, well, when you go against God's thoughts, something bad's probably going to happen. And it does. A lot of times it's illness, disease, accidents, you name it. Accidents occur because we damage our senses to the point where we don't perceive correctly where we're walking, moving, jumping, driving, whatever we're doing will create an accident. Okay. So let's see what the fourth ray really does then in terms of helping us to stay more healthy in comparison to what has been the model using more third ray energy. Well, there's a lot less technology. I don't want to say that we're not going to have any of the stuff that we presently have. We should be able to keep anything we use virtuously. So So if MRIs work or fMRIs work, fine, those will stay around. But if something else has been not used in a virtuous way, then it may disappear. Entirely possible. We also may be so destructive to ourselves in other ways for other reasons that society and civilization may decline, and the things that we take for granted today may not be available to us in the future. That's a more negative thing, and certainly plausible, but let's hope it doesn't happen. If it does, we'll adapt. That's the way that's the way it's meant to be. Okay. What is the principal difference then in philosophy? Well, I told you a little bit about the medical allopathic model. But in the spiritual holopathic model, instead of the body being a separate structure, having little, only minor connections to the brain and to consciousness, medicine today, modern medicine, medical science, tends to look at the brain being in some way an agitator or a soother, so they try to get us to relax or whatever. This is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something entirely different. I'm saying that under this new model, if you think virtuously and then take action that is virtuous, you will make yourself healthier, and you'll know that. That is not something that will be just, well, some guy in a radio show came up with that idea. Of course, I didn't myself anyway. But the point is, it'll be, yeah, we now have proven this beyond our own doubts. And that'll get us closer to God. And that's what this whole system is about. Get closer to your Creator. I don't care what religion you are. I don't talk specifically about religions on this show because there's a wide diversity of people listening all across the world who have all kinds of religions. But we can all understand what that means in relationship to God. So that we make sure you understand that. I'm not espousing a certain religion. This is not about Christian Science. People say, oh, Christian Science, that's what they think. You just have to, you have to be close to God and you'll be cured. Well, if you do good work, that will really help, good deeds. But it isn't necessarily a cure-all, because there's also motive, and there's the thing called karma. What have you done in the past? If it's really weighty, a lot of serious karma, maybe for prior lifetimes, if you believe in that stuff, then all of that comes to bear on your present condition, and you may not, just by going out and doing some good deeds, instantly be able to change them. Think about that. Okay, so the holistic approach, the spiritual holistic approach, is that we are connected to how we think and how we act and what we consume, and especially what we consume if what we consume comes from sources that we understand the nature of in terms of working with the parts of us that are enlightened. The purpose of holistic spiritual is physical enlightenment, to become physically enlightened on the inside. That's the purpose of the treatment. And if you could create physical enlightenment, get rid of the darkness that is within us, we can create all kinds of ways of treating, curing, pain relieving, you name it, situations in our system. The mechanism, if you're dealing with strictly the physical body for right now, and I will deal with that, it's a little different when you go to the other bodies and other dimensions that are parts of us that we may not recognize. But we'll start with the physical and make it simple. We've got 7 major chakras or centers that process our senses' information that they're bringing in. The 5 senses you probably are all familiar with. I don't have to name those, I don't think. And then 2 additional ones. One that is in the heart chakra that helps us, when it's conscious, helps us to understand our own Creator and God, which is why humans seek God and animals don't. They don't. They may love each other, but they may love, or animals of similar nature, they may love us, but they don't love God. They don't go to churches. They don't create ideas of co-creation. They don't understand anything of that nature because they don't have a sense of it. They could learn a little bit about it if they're close to humans, and if they're very advanced type of animals, maybe some of the primates might be able to do that a little bit. Maybe your own pet might have a sense of that on occasion. But truly, it's humans that have this. That's what makes us uniquely human. And anything else, don't listen to the evolutionists who have their own, you know, evolution is a great science. There's a lot of truth to it, but they don't understand what I'm telling you right now. So they don't understand why humans are different from animals. Okay, so we understand God through our heart chakra. And then we understand how to co-create with God and how we can sense others either doing so or not through our crown chakra, which is the first type of energy. The heart chakra is the second type of energy of God, which comes together and it's part of spirit, really. This is spirit works with these energies to make them part of us. When they do, we become light. And, you know, there's a couple of different kinds of particles even that carry light, neutrinos and photons and related particles. There's certain subcategories. So the whole point is that this light that is so important that I'm talking about helps us to stay well. It really, and it's what keeps us well. And the energy that is connected with those energies on the light side, so they have to have some of these energies connected together and with any energy that they're functioning through, all those energies are called together light energies or divonic energies. And then there's just an elemental type of energy, which is not an energy which is a cooperative giving type of energy. It sort of only wants to do one thing. I want to get bigger. I want to have more. And it operates more under the force of gravity. So it sort of gravitates towards other energies like itself. It's an elemental type of energy. And so we have these two different kinds of energies. And the energies that mostly work with our senses now, okay, is divonic energy. It's energy of light. And if you think about it, in a physical body, it moves through electrical energy. And electrical energy gives off and absorbs photons. And sometimes, we don't know this in present physics, there's a change in the state of certain types of neutrinos. But that's another thing entirely off the subject for right now. And so that's how our nervous system actually works. And there's a etheric part or an electromagnetic part of our nervous system called the NADIS, N-A-D-I-S system. And that particular system, which has been talked about in Eastern medicine for a long, long time, there's like a double part, a duplicate part of our physical body within a few inches, 6 inches or so, of our physical body that is electromagnetic and resembles the physical body and has etheric centers in it that we call chakras. Okay. And these centers transmit these etheric energies that are composites or parts of the physical energies, which we identify as electrical energy. Very interesting stuff, I'd say. Now, there are 7 major centers. I already told you those. Okay, I'll name them for you if you like. The one is called the crown chakra. It's a first-rate center. It's just above the head. It's not in the physical body, so it's above the head. And then there's the ajna center. That's the 5th-rate center. I'm just going from the head to the toes, okay, so you can follow me more easily. Not by numerical number, though. And that 5th-rate center is connected to our pituitary gland, and it also has a lot of, we'll say, information that it works with that is connected with memory and our brain and how brain is, think of it as a giant storage device. And so that's what it's mainly there for. It helps us to think about things that have to do with stored information, usually. And then moving from that, we have the throat chakra, which is where the 3rd-ray energy is. That's the energy that builds our civilization and is changing at the present time. you can see how it's very much involved with information because speech comes from this area. And that reaches all the way into our lungs and to the, you know, the thyroid gland and the parathyroids and that sort of stuff. And anything dealing with oxygen is a big factor because oxygen is, has a great affinity towards the third brain. Okay, and then let's move further. I'm moving just down from the head to the toes kind of thing. And the next center we run into is a sixth ray center. It's a sixth ray type of energy that it processes mostly. And that sixth ray center is called a solar plexus center. And it gives us a sense of touch and the ability to sense things that are very, very close. So it has a very fine ability to distinguish between one thing and another if it's used in an enlightened way. If it's used in an unenlightened way, we lose the ability to sense anything fine detail between one thing and another, and all things seem the same to us. That's not a good thing to have. So you become kind of senseless, yeah. Okay, and then the next center, which is really more about inner reflection, we'll say. It's sometimes referred to as the base of spine center. And, of course, it kind of is at the base of the spine, if you want to look at it from that standpoint. I think that people tend to use it in a way that they misunderstand. But anyway, it gives us the ability to inwardly reflect and inwardly understand ourselves and others. And we sometimes use it with the six-ray center to gain and build empathy. The two centers bounce off each other, and we can gain empathy for others. Empathy, though, directly comes from the six-ray center joining with other centers, so it's a really good thing anyway. And then finally, we end up with the sexual center, which is actually lower. This gets people confused. It's actually lower, if you're moving towards the feet, than the base of spine. So it's below where the base of spine is. That's why I use that word, base of spine. So it's below that, if you can imagine. And the sexual center actually gives us, and this is going to sound weird, a sense of hearing. You say, well, how in the heck do you hear if you get? Well, it gives us a sense of hearing because it allows us to be able to translate and understand information that we hear. It isn't just the sounds that we're hearing. That comes from the physical organ of the ears and the cochlea and the whole thing. But the ability to take in and indistinguish from one sound to the next is what the sexual center gives, as well as the ability, obviously, to express ourselves in terms of sexual identity and other factors. And it handles the most dense of the energies that we handle. Any one of those centers are connected to organs and glands in the physical body. And those organs and glands then are either strengthened or weakened depending upon how well these centers are used in terms of gaining information from the environment and creating it into knowledge, which our personalities in a subconscious way does. So really this is a kind of interesting whole system. Now, that's not where holistic medicine really focuses so much, because connected to these major centers are hundreds, over 300, minor centers. The minor centers do not have a sphere of consciousness, so we can't directly tell in a conscious way what the minor center senses. It has to feed the information into a major center for us to be conscious of what the information is. And that's assuming that the major center is conscious. And in some people, not all their major centers are always conscious all the time. Although the throat center is the most conscious center on an average on Earth because of this energy having been around for over 700 years. It sort of helped things out, you might say. All right, so 300 plus, that's a lot of centers. And each one is sending information using two kinds of combined energies and a kind of we'll call it enlightened energy that controls it. And the two kind of energies are, one of them is called Kundalini. And Kundalini energy is really, really interesting because it comes from another dimension of time and space, a much higher one, goes through the spirit of our earth, and then eventually, in some people, it can make huge differences, but we all use a part of it called Pingala, or some people call it Chi, which keeps us alive by connecting all of our minor centers together, making us a unified being. If it wasn't for this Chi energy moving through us, we would not stay integrated as a human being or as an animal or any kind of life form, and we would die. All life forms have to have this unifying Chi energy moving through it and being able to create a oneness to our body. So we take this energy and we mix it with another kind of energy that comes from the sun, actually, that is affecting our atmosphere called prana. Prana. Yeah, it's a funny name, I know. So prana mixes with the chi. Hey, you get a mix and a mo. And the chi energy, this is going to sound strange, the chi energy is actually feminine, and the prana energy is actually masculine. And the two of them mix together in our body, and it kind of is considered like a kind of coming together. And what brings them together is the devonic energies within our centers, including those minor centers, which are taking these energies and directing them to go here or there. Go to this center, go to that center. As long as these two energies are moving along and they're doing so without fighting each other and everything is copacetic, we stay healthy. When the chi energy, the feminine energy, is either dominated by the pranic energy, if it's dominated by it, then what happens is it becomes overly active and a person gets, nervous and jittery. And, or if it becomes inactive, and then it just sort of, sits there. Okay, if it does that, then in either case, we get illness. Overactivity produces kind of a fire effect. Underactivity creates a kind of like a solid, doesn't move effect, a gravitational effect. And the perfection of the energy is to allow those to become balanced, so that they're always moving in a way in which just the right amount of energy is in each minor center and is moving towards an appropriate major center, so that the senses are enhanced in the person. And the knowledge that they get through the senses, and that knowledge comes by one energy in the sense itself, attracting energy from outside the sense by being more enlightened than that energy, and bringing it in and accurately depicting what that energy is like, so that we know what's out there. And then we could take that information and create knowledge out of it accurately. And that only comes about when we are using the knowledge to be of service to others, to be working the way our Creator works. So when we think and act as God, what we're doing is we're changing the energies within ourselves, even though we don't necessarily know it, because it all is going on subconsciously. We can't sense the minor centers. We can't even sense our own personality. It's subconscious to ourselves. So we don't know that we're doing this. I'm just telling you. You can believe me or not, but if you experiment with this, you'll probably find out for yourself it's true. Okay. This is the basis of holistic spiritual medicine. And why is it a fourth-ray approach? Well, because it's coming from that fourth-ray center, which I described with the base of spine, which is also called the sacral center. It makes us sacred, provided that we are using it the way I just described. If you use it to hold on to energy or to speed it up too much, either way, then the results are going to be you're going to get this illness or that illness, depending upon where you're using the center too much or too little. Either too much or too little. You're going to be doing one of those two. Remember about the dominance of the pranic energy or the gravitation of it. And we're going to be stuck with this chi doing all kinds of negative stuff to us. Chi needs to be moving and balanced. That's what it needs to be. Qi is what creates all of the wonderful things that in Chinese medicine and other types of Eastern medicine that we talk about as the balance of life itself. This is the wonderful thing about it. Okay, but we are not conscious of it unless we train ourselves to become conscious. Once you train yourself, you can feel what I'm talking about. Yes, yes. And everything I'm saying is self-discoverable, but it isn't going to come to you just because you sit around and don't do anything. You need to be virtuous in your actions, and then you'll discover it for yourself. Some of you already know that. I know that. Okay, so this is the foundation of holistic health and spiritually implying that, applying holistic health so that we can have a new approach. Because without understanding everything I just described, you can see that if we continue to go down the path with allopathic medicine, we're going to reach a roadblock, and in many cases we have. Now, there's no question that allopathic medicine has moved ahead in many ways technologically, but because it's a flawed science, because it's based upon a lot of untruths, people are still getting sick and they're dying and they're suffering tremendously. And it doesn't have to be that way. Also, we grow old. Now, we're going to eventually die, but we don't have to grow as old as we do before we do so. The growing old part has to do with wearing out the systems because of accelerating the energy too fast, or in many cases, just allowing it to slow down and become trapped. Either one's virtually the same outcome. They may manifest in different kinds of diseases and problems, but it's still going to do the same thing. Accelerated aging and deterioration of the centers and senses, and eventually suffering and then death. Well, that's no fun. So today's show is to counter that, to change all that. And when we come back from break, I'm going to be talking about ways that we can change that, just so you understand that that's where we're headed. And so it's really important then to recognize that we have a very big shift coming about because of the change in ray energies, because the new energy that's coming in directly involves the sacral center to make us sacred, and it involves this inward understanding of our own natures that will change medicine. We are going to become so unaware of and understand how and why we make ourselves sick that we will be able to come up with amazing new ways to treat what we call illness and aging. And that's what we're going to talk about when we come back. And that'll be in about 2.5 minutes or so from right now.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hon, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower, MacFlouer.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
We're back. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. Tonight we're talking about the metaphysical new health approaches that are going to be coming available. I have some very specific things I'm going to talk about, and I hope that first segment gave us a good foundation for what's going to be coming now in the rest of the show. If you didn't completely understand it, maybe it'll come through as I go over some of the new developments and new ways of hopefully helping us to live longer, better, healthier lives, and also why we have to eventually die, which is an important thing for some people to understand. I know there are those out there who say, well, I'm never going to die. I'm just going to become some kind of techno freak who will find some way to keep going. And in reality, that's not really desirable, but I'll explain that. Okay, so what are we looking at in terms of changes? Well, the first is a medical approach, if we call it medical, that no longer sees us as a mechanical device or some kind of biological mechanical device that is seeking for some mechanical solution, a form solution to the problems. The most important thing is to really understand the nature of how those energies I was talking about, the pranic energies mixing with the kundalinis, and then working through, there's three different kinds of kundalinis, by the way, but the chi is the first, and working through our systems and producing these wondrous effects which we call life. I mean, this isn't just about us. It's about all kinds of life, of course. And just our understanding of that is a big leap forward. And you could say, well, the Chinese haven't they known about it. What about the Indians, the Eastern Indians? Haven't they known about it for a long time? And, well, I don't know. Well, you know, they've known about some of this. That's true. But what they didn't understand is the connection of all the different centers together. And the Chinese have a lot of great diagrams showing some of the minor centers, a lot of them, actually. But they don't understand the nature of the energies in connection with the major centers, and they don't understand necessarily, in their own philosophies at least, how these major centers are sensing and then relating to God, etc. And I think the biggest issue is to understand that as we become more virtuous, which means enlightened with energy, we become closer to our Creator, and we become closer and closer to becoming in a fully conscious state, including a personal conscious state, immortal. So, and immortality in consciousness is what our personal selves, personalities, tend to fear, fear loss of. It really doesn't happen, but there is some truth to the fact that the personality, unless it's very virtuous and fusing with our soul, does eventually die. That goes. But who we really are is our soul anyway, and we just awaken to that. So the loss of the personality is more the fear of the personality than the fear of the true person, who is actually the soul that is just using a personality to live within the dense world and the three lower worlds, as they're called. And so when we look at this from a bigger standpoint, we aren't ever facing real death, only the shedding of bodies and eventually of what we call the subconscious part of ourselves, our personality. Well, why do we worry so much about losing a subconscious part of ourselves? I mean, I'm worried about losing consciousness, not necessarily losing personalities. You know, I mean, poor personality, I feel badly for it, but if it's not up to the snuff, you'll have to get I'll create a new one, which is exactly what souls do, go on from there. I'm not going to worry too much about it. It's sort of like worrying too much about your sneakers when they wear out, you know. Well, they were a nice pair of sneakers. You liked them a lot, you know, but the soles are gone. And once the soles gone, the shoes won't work anymore. Interesting pun. Okay, little play on words. Ha, ha, ha. So let me move on and talk about some specifics. One of the things that's most interesting, and I find this, you know, it's in the Western Bible. It's elsewhere. It's in Indian medicine, and it's in Eastern Indian medicine, and it's also in some elements of, believe it or not, some elements of even Zen Buddhism, which is really a Japanese kind of Buddhism. So it's all over the place. Is this concept, which I think I find really fascinating, that is that there are plants. Specifically, and in some cases, some animals that treat and cure all the kinds of misappropriate chi pranic energy problems in our bodies. The problem is, and this is no easy one to get around, that each plant may only deal with a few of these centers at a time. Now, they can synergistically maybe work together and you can cut down the numbers to some extent, but it's still, if you have hundreds, over 300 minor centers, and you got these major centers too you have to worry about, and they all have to have some help from a plant or some part of an animal or something, you got a lot of stuff you got to be starting to think about in terms of either smelling, consuming, whatever you're dealing with the plant, or rubbing it on yourself, or however you're dealing with that plant. You need a lot of different plants, and they have to be of a certain quality, and they have to be of a certain, we'll call it, etheric or electromagnetic frequency, and those frequencies can't be disturbed by how either they're grown or handled afterwards. Whoa! Now we're talking about a complicated issue, but one that has been addressed thousands of years ago in recorded history, and tens, hundreds, even millions of years ago, tens of hundreds of thousands, and even up to millions of years ago, in terms of human knowledge, but is no longer part of recorded history. So, I mean, amazing, amazing. And I said East Indians, the Western Indians in the United States and South America knew a great deal about plants and somewhat animals as well, and they were very close to both. So this is important to understand, that these lower kingdoms, in a technological sense, even now, weird as it seems, the third rate never fully brought this knowledge out, because you also have to have an understanding of all of these different centers and the energies that the centers process. And they process one of the seven major types of energies and seven different sub-rates of these energies. It gets very complicated. I'm not kidding you. But there's a treatment for everything, because everything is caused. The causal issue is that you're speeding up too much or you're slowing down the chi pranic energy marriage, and it's not moving properly, or you're getting it balanced or imbalanced. Too much, too little. These are all parts of the same system. And these substances that come from plants and some animals are there to correct for a time while you consume them or use them in some way. I mean, in some cases, you can just burn them around yourself. In some cases, you rub them on yourself. Rubicin. But the most common is to actually consume them. I mean, put them in a tea, drink them, swallow nowadays a capsule or a tablet, and this is what you do with them. But amazingly, if you got the right combination, you can treat just anything, because it's all based upon the same problem, even though there's thousands of reasons, from parasites to you name it, that people have problems in these various minor and major centers. And you can deal with them appropriately through what I just said. Now, you could say, oh, well, what about the drug pharmaceutical companies? Aren't they taking these plants and making them better? Nope, they're not. What they do, what they tend to do, is they tend to take a piece of the plant out, and they say, well, we'll get a patent on that, okay? And they get a patent on it. And then, after they get their patent, then they sell it to you for 100 times the price of what the herb might be, or 1,000. And then you take it, and instead of it working on balancing the centers, it imbalances them. It gets rid of the energy from one center, but puts it too much in another. They call it a side effect. Whoa, some kind of side effect. Possibly death or blindness. Sterility. You might lose your hearing. Or you may have tinnitus so loud you can't hear anything anymore anyway. And you don't have to worry about losing your hearing. And then on top of that, you might lose your sense of taste or touch. Maybe you'll go blind. I'm not kidding you. I've been listening to the commercials. They tell you that, right? And then it's always, at the end of the commercial, or death. So you'll be cured of the illness, but you will be dead. All right? That's what they do. Now, do they all do that all the time? No. If you use them for a very limited period of time, maybe you'll get some treatment with them. But the problem is you're pushing energy around instead of balancing it. And you get a lot more side effects with that. Now, it's faster. It may be faster than some herbs, not all the time, though. But it certainly has a lot of issues and problems. Now, you can combine herbs and get side effects, too. I don't want you to think that that's not true. As a matter of fact, if you don't combine herbs, if you just use a single herb or a single substance, we'll call it, it could be a nutraceutical. Some of these substances, by the way, come from the mineral kingdom. I didn't mention that. I should have. There are pure minerals that are very helpful and very important, but they usually have to be mixed with an herbal and or an animal ingredient to work properly. All of this is going on in the pharmaceutical world to basically make money and to get quick results that hide or mask the fact that the person is actually creating the problem for themselves. Remember, they're using the allopathic model. So to prove to themselves that they're right, they get rid of what looks like the symptom until a new one crops up, right? Most people that take a drug for one thing find out soon later they've got something else. No wonder that industry makes so much money. For every illness they treat and cure, they create two more, or a third one, possibly with the side effects, and they now have to treat that. It's endless. You talk about staying in business. Come out with a new drug, you got three more on the horizon. They treat one treats the side effects, and the other two treat new illnesses that pop up. Right? Okay. So, obviously, the pharmaceutical business has great limitations. Occasionally, it's very important to use a pharmaceutical drug for a short-term relief where the system is so badly compromised that you have to have fast action and short-term. And then after that, you need to be looking for a longer-term, non-destructive method. And that even goes for things like type 1 diabetes. A lot of people say, well, you got to stay on insulin for the rest of your life because all the pancreas is gone, and it's a new genetic. Well, in reality, that's really karma, because most of the time it's from childhood. And it's very difficult to deal with. There are things that can be done over time, but you may still have to use insulin for a while. Or maybe they'll grow back to IL of the pancreas cells, those beta cells out there that are doing that need to be fixed up. If they can do that, granted, there's nothing wrong with that type of technology, and that would be a wonderful thing. we've come to some kinds of things in medicine that really are helpful that way. Most of them aren't. Medicine is terrible in where 85% of all diseases exist, which is called chronic diseases. It has almost a 0% track record of cure. I mean, you can take drugs, but then they cause other illnesses and side effects. And you can still, you'll still have the disease or problem. So then what do we need to be looking at? If we really want cures, if the new health approaches is to cure somebody, first of all, they have to be aware of the cause. The cause is their own past, either karmically and or, the older they are, the more true this is, their own choices in life and their thoughts and their interactions with others. And that's very important. Also, if they don't take responsibility for their bodies, I'm not just talking about their physical, but let's talk about that right now, but I'm talking about all the bodies. If you don't take responsibility, then you're culpable and you're creating it that way. I mean, certainly if you don't exercise, eat badly, you consume terrible substances, all those things are going to destroy you. Hey, you can't drink poison all day and stay up all night and not resting and et cetera, and then eat garbage and expect that you're going to be okay. I mean, anybody who believes that is probably deserving of what they cause for themselves and their own suffering. All right, so we have to come to some new realization about self-responsibility. Who are we? And the more capable you are, now listen, this is very important, the more capable you are of responding in a virtuous or enlightened way, the more you must, or the sicker you're going to get. So people who are less capable can do a half of the things I just said and only get moderately ill and age moderately fast. But the people who are more capable have more understanding, more consciousness, and choose to ignore it. Get sicker faster, have more accidents, have more problems, grow older faster, and suffer more. A lot more pain in their life, too. Whoa, I know. You're going to say I'm being judgmental. I'm not being judgmental. I'm telling you what I understand. I'm really not. I'm not, you know, saying, well, okay, it's God's wrath. Maybe it is. I'd say it's the wrath of stupidity. But if you want to call it God's wrath, it may be. God created the entire universe. And we play by God's rules, not by our rules. I mean, we could play by our rules, but God's rules still are going to come and bang us in the head, right? We're still going to get the results that has been already decided upon if we decide to choose a negative life. And what about people who are genuinely criminals and who do terrible things? How come they don't immediately suffer and die? Well, the weird thing about karma, and this is strange, I know it doesn't sound fair, is that the worse you are on a conscious level, you say, yeah, I'm really going to go out and kill people, I think I'll destroy a few buildings, do this or that. Yeah, if you do those sorts of things, you delay your karma. That's not a good thing. It's a terrible thing, because as karma gets delayed, it compounds itself, and you're going to suffer much worse in the future. But you slow things down, so it appears to maybe yourself and to others around you, that you're escaping. You're getting around it. You're not. It'll catch up with you. If you make it through the physical life without too much badness happening, which is not always the case, it will certainly catch up with you in the astral world the next lifetime you live in this personality that you're in. And certainly by the time you get to the monastic or mental world, you're really in big trouble. You're going to suffer immensely. And if you decide a really dark path and become evil, okay, well, great. Maybe you'll go a few thousand years before it all hits you. That's the truth. If you really want to go evil, it just really slows up stuff. But when it does hit you, there's no suffering you can imagine as bad as it's going to be. It's still not hell, because you eventually get out of it, but it's still very bad, very, very bad. Now, that's a person who's soulless now. Only soulless people can live in that way. Okay, so that's a really bad state. That's people who are really evil. And there are not too many people are like that. But they can remain fairly healthy. I mean, actually, they can remain very healthy. That's the unfortunate thing, I guess. Or maybe they consider good fortune. For a long time they can, until it catches up. Then watch out. All right. So, what do I need to tell you now about the next 10 to 20 years? This is where I want to start focusing in on our, say, the next 10 years. And what can we expect in terms of new metaphysical health approaches? And how are things really going to be different for us? Well, first of all, we have to recognize that technology is going to somewhat diminish for some people in its ability to be whatever help it is, because things are falling apart economically, there's human disasters, and there may be godlike disasters. Terrible things could be coming our way that would be so destructive, so disruptive to our civilization that even what we have taken for granted, we'll be back in the 19th century or so. And that may not be a bad thing, because in the 19th century, there was actually a good deal of use, at least in the Western world, of some of the remedies that we may go back to, but we'll have a better understanding of them. There were healthcare practitioners called herbalists and homeopathic people back in those days, both, who used different methods, different ideologies of using plants and other substances and minerals and a little bit of animals to promote health and to help people treat various kind of ailments. Now, those ailments, I'm going to tell you right now, were not always cured, because the people themselves were still just as selfish sometimes after the use. So, but one thing these herbalists, early herbalists did, and there were much earlier ones going all the way back to the Middle Ages and before, of course, the Romans did pretty good with some herbal stuff. They understood that somehow, if you could get all the right ingredients together, you could probably treat anything. They didn't understand the science of the chakras and the minor centers, and that the person has to be living a virtuous life for anything to work anyway. And by not understanding those factors, they did a lot of trial and error and did come up with some combinations of herbs. They were too small and too little in their magnitude of complexity to be able to do significant amounts of help. So herbalists became kind of unpopular because people said, well, yeah, I tried the herbs from the herbalist and it didn't really help all that much. It helped some, but, you know. And the reason for it is because of what I said. Without understanding the causes, we can't really come up with the cures. But we understand that today. If you're a metaphysician, you do today. And if you're a person into herbal medicine, you might. And if you studied Eastern methods, you probably will. If you're able to put it all together, you've got to really put it all together into a single package. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to move us just for a couple minutes here away from just our discussion. So I want to tell you about some of the stuff that I've been involved with others, and we've been experimenting using exactly what I've told you. You could call this the mid-commercial of the show. If you want to go up and ignore this part, you can. I know. I'm giving you a couple minutes of kind of like less science and more about telling you anecdotal stuff. Anecdotal is very important, though, because it tells you, it explains in examples things that may be hard to understand in concepts. And a few years ago, actually it's more than that now, I think it's like 5 years ago, a group of people, including myself, got together. And it included the group I was a spiritual member of, but, you know, there's others as well. And we tried to come up with something that would deal with H5N1, the bird flu. Because at that time, we were really concerned, and I still am, by the way. I think we're still running great danger from that. But that it could really become a full-blown epidemic. So I suggested, why don't we come up with an herbal formula that works on as many centers as we know are involved with this kind of flu? And this kind of flu involves something called a cytokine immune storm syndrome, which is a very serious problem of bleeding in the lungs and drowning in your own blood within a couple hours during the first two or three days that you actually have ontoward symptoms of the flu. It's very dangerous. It kills you, I mean, quickly. And that symptom led me to understand that there were hundreds, a couple hundred centers involved. So we worked on it and came up with a formula that had like over 130, over 140 ingredients that when properly balanced and put together actually dealt with all the different centers and would be effective against H5N1, although we had no proof of it because it didn't exist yet in human beings. Except, you know, the beginnings of it from close encounters with animals. And then we found it worked on flus and colds and all kinds of stuff. So that was the first step in trying a formula based upon this science. Years before, decade before, probably even more than a decade before, there had been an attempt to make a formula that would increase age and also make it easier to, for another one that proved movement of, with people with the joint problems and stuff. Those were only limited in success because at that time I thought you only had to deal with a few minor centers connected to a major center, and I didn't realize the importance of how you have to deal with all of these minor centers because the energy will move in a new way, find a new way to move that still keeps the system imbalanced if you don't deal with the extra minor centers. So you think you're treating it, and then suddenly it stops working. And that's exactly what was happening in some of those earliest formulas. So today, we really got this down to science. We call it the science of Fai Chi. For those of you who have heard that name before, you probably haven't, but it's okay. And it really works. And so recently, very recently, I've been working on a pain formula with others, and the results are absolutely amazing. We've got a pain formula that now absolutely, and I'm not kidding, works on everything from the most moderate forms of pain to the most absolutely worst severe kinds of pain in the world, and does so with minimal side effects at the highest levels of taking it, and at the moderate and lower levels, you don't even know you're taking anything. But the results are absolutely profound. I mean, like the pain is gone, last 6 to 8 hours. Each time you take it, it's a little better than the last time. It doesn't wear off. It doesn't wear out. You don't get adapted to it so that you can't, you know, you don't get addicted to it. It doesn't adapt so that it doesn't work anymore. It's amazing stuff. Almost no side effects. And it has some permanent treatment results and even the causes of some pains. Absolutely amazing stuff. Is it available yet? Not quite, no. But it will be. It will be before the end of the summer available. And maybe sooner, I don't know, we'll work on it as fast as we can. I'm going to just tell you, it's really amazing stuff. It's the same science that I'm talking about in tonight's show, just so you know. Okay, how's that for a commercial? I guess you would call it that. But it's not yet available. We've given it a name. Freedom from Pain, that's what it's going to be called when it is available. Just so you want to know about, you may want to know this, that this coming, I think it's this coming, Monday, June 21st, if you have a chance, stop by Borders Mesa Fiesta over at 1361 South Almond School Road in Mesa, if you're in the Phoenix area. And Mimi's going to be having a general discussion on spiritual and metaphysical perspective of certain issues. So you can check that out. And I don't have time for the rest of this stuff, so I'm going to go back to what I'm talking about here on the show. I got a bunch of other stuff in front of me right now. Okay, so let's get back to our the healing cures. I gave you an anecdotal example. Now, how is it that these things are going to be used? Well, you can go to what will become a new type of healthcare practitioner. I don't know what you're going to call it. I would call it a naturopath, except they are falling too much into the allopathic model. Most of the people I've talked to that are naturopaths do not understand almost anything that I've explained in tonight's show. That's frightening, because I would think that that's where it should be going, but it hasn't. They've tried to become like little mini doctors, medical doctors, and that's kind of a huge mistake in my opinion, but that's where it seems to be going. And I'm in a state where it's legal for people to be naturopaths. Okay, so the not legal, provided they go to school and get educated, of course. This new person, whatever they're going to be called, is going to need to become an expert on energies within the body, including the etheric energies, the electromagnetic energies, that are controlling and interfering with all of the minor centers, all the major centers, and they're going to have to understand prana and chi, and for the very few people, the other two kundalinis as well. And when all this other stuff that's going to need to be understood, they're going to need to know a great deal about biology as well as botany and how plants interact with the biology of the body, but at the same time, know a lot more about how the plants are working in terms of the energies they contain. And that is unknown at the present time. I mean, literally unknown. I don't know any source I can refer anybody to that has that information. Now, I know that's up to us, this group I'm a member of, and others maybe, to write about it or do something, because it's just plain not available. So it has to be created. And maybe you want to become part of that. So contact us. You know, I'm serious, because we've got to do something about this. This information is too valuable to be lost. It'll take another 50 to 100 years to probably be created. There's no reason to. We can make it happen now. If nothing else, I could start teaching a course on it, and I'll do it. I don't know. Maybe the station will let me do it or something. But I'm letting you know that we do need to get the information out, because it's not even available. And then the people that learn it are going to have to be something different than the people who presently are calling themselves naturopaths, unless they're going to adopt and actually use this information, which is fine with me. I don't care what you call yourself, as long as you use the information in some type of way. One of the problems is that even a computer would have a very hard time, I don't think it could, use this information. It takes the mind of a person who's clear and able to put together all these different concepts to come up with the right formulas. But that being the case, once the formulas are available, it only takes the right practitioner to understand what a person is really dealing with to go to the right formula. It becomes more like homeopathy then. That's how homeopathy is today. You know, most homeopaths do not make their own homeopathic remedies. They're already made, and they say, you use this, you use that, that kind of thing. So that's something that we have to look forward to, and we need to be preparing for it. Because how in the heck, you know, is anybody going to be able to use this? And then the other thing is that herbs have to be available. I want you to know that to do the stuff we're doing right now, what I mentioned earlier, this pain form, it's almost impossible. We had to go to a company, and literally, I don't know that they're truly, in every circumstance, but in a lot of circumstances, they're going to have to make what we're looking for in the way and kind of herb we need. It's not even available. I mean, the herb itself, growing on the ground, is available. But the way it's processed after that, not done. And the standardization of herbs is not the correct method. Extracts that are standardized generally are not much different from pharmaceuticals. They're better, but they're not much different. And they create some side effects. They become resistant in the body after a while, short time of use. They are too singular in their approach, because standardization means that the herb, some part of the herb is being ignored, while another part is being accentuated, and that's not a good thing. There are ways of doing extracts other than that. Those ways are becoming extinguished by laws and crazy people who don't understand what the heck they're doing. Okay, so That's coming. Herbs, and I say herbs, I'm also including minerals and nutrients. I'm including some parts of usually dead animals that would not be used, you know, under normal circumstances. We don't have to eat animals to have these dead parts, because the animals, after they die, the parts are still left over anyway. So we have these as options. And if they, even if they, you know, they used antler hair, if you want to call it that, little fuzz in the, you know, antlers, from various animals to treat people with. You should be aware of that. And that doesn't hurt anybody, because they shed them every year, and you just go out in the woods and pick them up. But you got to get them fresh. So I don't know how well you are tracking your nearest moose, but if you're good at it, you might get a rack from a moose or a rack from an elk or a deer or male deer. Whatever. Okay, so these particular substances need to be cherished, and they need to be continued to be grown and developed and available. The very worst thing that could happen is patenting them, and particularly the worst agency to be involved with in dealing with them is the FDA. Why? Because the FDA treats herbs no differently than it treats anything else, which is based upon the mechanical allopathic model. It is a medical department, in effect, of our government. They call themselves food and drug, and the more they get involved in anything, the more they cause the restriction of development of things in that field. Do they do some good things? Sure. I mean, you know, if you've got some kind of contamination, a toxic thing in a substance, they occasionally get involved and prevent that from becoming a widespread epidemic and destroying lives of people and hurting people. There's reasons to have something that does that, but again, they mostly restrict the use of products that are not harmful, and that if they continue to do what they do, they'll become like Codex is in Europe, and there will be almost nothing available of a nutraceutical or botanical nature available to treat people, which is what is going to be the coming new health approach. So they will stand in the way of people's health and life. And you know what eventually happens to someone or something that does that? It destroys itself. So that's what will happen if they continue to do this. Now, I'm not saying anybody else is going to destroy them. I'm saying they are self-destructive. Their processes will make them politically a pariah, and people will hate them. And you could say, oh, but the Democrats love them right now, don't they? Well, maybe. I don't know. Certainly progressives do. People who are progressive seek that because they think that the government knows best everything. And the government knows least and worst, usually. But that was last week's show. This is this week's show. Yeah, if you're interested in what I just said, go to last week if you didn't hear it. Okay, so how do we then move ahead? Well, we've got concerns with the FDA, and that's a big problem. More people getting involved in this, more people understanding it and using it, will, in the long run, overcome the inertia and eventually destructive aspects of the FDA. They seek to control for their own benefit. Remember that. Not for the benefit of others, but for their own benefit. They call it the benefit of others because they don't understand. They only understand allopathic medicines and patent medicines, and they're trying to control food and dietary supplements, which they're clueless about. And they don't understand herbal medicine at all. And what I said on the show tonight, they would probably want to lock me up for, claiming that I'm some type of loony or worse, who knows. Okay, so in order to get around this, it's people becoming more conscious. Consciousness saves us, because as we become more conscious, we overcome the darkness of others. we overcome the need for others to control. Their need to control comes from their fear of being out of control and their desire to take rather than to receive. They're selfish. So when you're selfish, you want to control others. Okay. What else can we do? What else is our future? How can we make this future come about where we're really going to be able to treat all these diseases and do all these wonderful things for ourselves and live a lot longer, by the way? The next formula we're going to be working on is freedom from aging, which we had an earlier one, and which I wasn't complete enough, and it was very difficult to even get that one made. But the next one, along with our resveratrol formulas, which I didn't get to tell you about tonight, but you've heard me talk about it if you listen to other shows. These will come to play. They will increase life expectancy by 50%, but more importantly, reduce aging by half. So, let's take a real example. You might live to be 120, 130 years old. I mean, really, 125, let's say. And you might not look any older than 60. Is that an okay place to be? I think so. So it's something to consider. And that's what we're moving towards. It's really possible to get to that place. But you've got to understand the science. You call Fai Chi. I like that word because we came up with it, but you can call it whatever you want. And it will achieve these results over time. And we're not far from getting that other formula done this year as well. It's possible to do both. That'd be amazing. Wow. Now, we're not saying these cure or treat anything. I'm not calling them medicine. I'm calling them health approaches. Staying healthy. Whatever you want to call them. We also call a product we make Soul Balance because in all cases, what we're really doing is we're balancing the etheric physical body with the soul, trying to create enlightenment. If that's what we're doing, I don't think that the FDA has a right to control or limit enlightenment. And if they do, you know what? It's time to leave this world. Well, they have control over enlightenment. I don't think I want to be here anymore. But that's another subject we can talk about sometime. All right. Voluntary choices about how long we may live as well. We can't live past about 147 years or so because the divinic energies that control our etheric physical system and some of the elemental energies they send out. They send out electrical energy, which is elemental energy, not divinic. He has to be allowed to be free. And the physical part of our body is made of dense physical energies of all kinds of minerals. You know about that, of course. And that those energies have to be free at an absolute minimum once every 147 years. So you can't, if you keep them longer than that, you will get darker rather than more enlightened, and you'll be hurting yourself, your own bodies, and others. So that would be the longest period of time we would want to live. And that will be a choice someday, within the next century or so. That could become a choice for a lot of people. That's a pretty amazing idea, isn't it? Okay. Now, again, a lot of people don't know about what I'm telling you. So you can say, well, why can't you just live 300 years or 400 years? Well, because it'd be selfish, and it wouldn't work. If you try it, it won't work. Okay. What else do we need to do, then, to improve these metaphysical new health approaches? Well, we need to live a more godly life. We need to have spirit and spiritual thought from all areas of religion, as well as areas of just trying to understand God, theology, we'll call it, as part of our educational system. You can't separate it. If you separate God and spirit from our educational system and from science, then science becomes false. And you can't use these methods I'm telling you about since they are based upon enlightenment and co-creation, or creating virtue in yourselves and others with your own creator. So it doesn't work without having it all joined together. A couple hundred years ago, people had a lot more of God within their educational structure. It wasn't the dominant, necessarily, issue, but it was there. Spirit was taught. Spiritual principles were taught. We don't have that today, and we need to put it back in. If we're going to have any kind of medical schools, they better be learning a lot about that, or else they're never going to be able to use the methods that I'm talking about. Because if you heard the first part of this show, you know that if you aren't thinking in terms of God, if you aren't thinking in terms of enlightenment and co-creating with God, it's not going to work. You can't achieve the results you want. The same is true of almost any mental discipline trying to seek truth. Physics, never going to find how the whole universe works unless you understand that we're co-creators with God. God created life so it could grow itself, but in the process it gave us freedom so that it wouldn't interfere with the life that it helped to create and continues to do so, but allows that life to make its own choices. What a wonderful system, if you think about it. And if you were God, would you want it any other way? That's the first question to ask yourself. You come up with a different answer, give me a call. All right, so we need to have an educational system and a system of practitioners that is in agreement with the models that I'm proposing in tonight's show, if we're going to use these metaphysically new health approaches, or we're going to be in big trouble. Now, are we going to continue to have technological advances? Absolutely. Are we going to be able to grow body parts and all this other stuff that they talk about? Possibly. Are we going to be able to make genetic changes on our genome and do, you know, get rid of something that's not right and make it different? Yes, because within the laws of karma, all that, anything genetic is karmic. We have the right to improve ourselves, but it will only work and won't change into some other problem if we don't, I mean, if we do create more virtue as a result of gaining more health. So every step of the way, each person will have the responsibility to say, gee, I have more health now. Now I have to do more good deeds. Now I have to create more light, and I have to need do so, hopefully, in ways that helps others to do the same. That's called the soul approach. Not just do it for someone, but help them to be able to do it for others as well. Once we get to that track, we get on that line, and everybody is trying to help everyone else to basically become healthy and virtuous at the same time. The two will be synonymous, and life will take a, hopefully, big move up on this planet, moving in a direction with this new fourth-ray energy that will take us into a world of amazing wonder. This is what I'm hoping is all of our futures, but the next 10 years may be brutal and difficult for us, and the next few years particularly so. So I want all of you to realize that we are looking towards a much more positive future, especially in terms of health, and approaches using what I would call the joining or wedding together of Eastern and Western medicines with newfounded metaphysical understandings. This is what we're moving towards. I hope this has made sense to you tonight. I'm looking at the clock here, and you know what? I'm out of time. I know it's really terrible. But if you ever have any questions, you can give a call. If you want to know more about some of the stuff we're doing, I'd love to have your input and or co-creation with us. Love to have it. Okay, you know how to get a hold of us, of course. It's right there on your screen. Or if you don't know, I'll give you a number, 1-800-777-7850. Call that number. Whoever answers the phone will be glad to find out more of what you want to know. Or you can email us at agelesswisdom.com. We're out of time for right now. Until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.